hate him. I feel like I'm never going to be happy again. And every day it just gets worse and worse. I can't miss him anymore. I can't. I don't want him.
Hello and welcome, dear listeners, to episode 24 of Control D, or it should be the day when this releases, July 9th. And I was just thinking before, just a minute or so ago, we were talking who should start the episode, and I wanted to do it because I'm just imagining some person just listening. But now that I think about it, it's wrong, because I was thinking someone would be listening to Delta V and they would be like, I can't stand this like plumbing guy's voice, and they the episode finishes and then they put on Control D and it's hello and welcome to episode 24 of Control D, and it's the same guy, and just the person rips their hair out. But I guess it works in both ways, whether it is one or the other. So, yes, if you hate me, it's your bad day. Why are you listening? I don't know.
Yeah, well, we
yes,
are...
that's my very positive start to this episode.
So, he's Plamen. And yes. I'm Pedro, and we are, Colin is not joining us today. He's looking for a new Batmobile.
Yes.
Yes.
But don't tell anyone, because you know.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Identity secret.
So, yes, this might be a shorter episode than usual due to slow news week.
News,
or at least regarding Fortnite, yes. Yes.
I'm just here to nitpick on the little shit.
It's, and I was saying, like, at least slow or on the kind of stuff that we talk about.
Yes.
Obviously, a lot of things happened. So, yes. So, let's start. You mentioned Fortnite, the impending doom, apocalypse, Clash of the Titans.
Yes. The Judgment
didn't
Day
happen.
Has been delayed.
Yes. PUBG Corp, they dropped the lawsuit on Epic. You know, that thing, PUBG. And it's getting really old to talk about Battle Royale.
Yes, but the same thing, like PUBG sues this, that, and
or
the other
Epic's
thing, and that thing over there. And
yeah,
someone
man,
got
it's
banned, and some new battle royale game was announced that we'll never talk about. Yep.
Just, it was like the okay, so before we start rambling, nobody said anything. It was just like PUBG dropped the lawsuit. We don't know if they reach an agreement like outside the courts. I highly doubt it. I don't know.
I mean, I doubt it too, because it would like set a precedent. If Epic
yes.
bent, it would like confirm PUBG's, you know, PUBG Corp's statements. Mm-hmm. Like they basically own the genre. Like they can, that it's their own creation, and they can be the only ones who, you know.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe they saw like this, you know, like Call of Duty and Battlefield and all the other shit that's appearing, and maybe they realize there's no fighting this.
So might as well squeeze out a little bit more publicity out of it.
Yeah, and it's like, and it got so big that the other day I went to, this past week, I went to the local shopping mall. I live in a very small town in the mountains. And like when I say small town, it's small town. I think we barely reached 30,000 people here.
It's like Paul Bunyan goes on vacation in Bragas.
But my point is, so we're a small town and like we don't have a lot of stuff here. And in the bookstore, there's a bookstore in the shopping mall where I buy some comics and magazines. And they had a Fortnite magazine there, which I had no idea that it existed. And to me, that shows like how big this thing,
a magazine,
you know. Yeah, it was like just a magazine that just said Fortnite. And I went there, is it the same thing? And it was like the cover was like the game. And it was like in Portuguese, stuff about the game. And I guess.
Fuck the Bloomberg website for playing auto-playing fucking videos. It can go fuck itself in the fucking ground. I don't care that the NHS is at 70. I'm just hoping I'll get to live to be 70.
So, yes, I still do not care about Battle Royale. Nothing against people that get a kick out of it.
Can we finally implement this? I talked about this sometime back, this Room 101 policy, where anything that goes into Room 101 never leaves. It's like, I think it's from like 1984, the book.
Oh, yeah. Well,
stuff goes there and just disappears. Or it might be Fahrenheit 451 or Brave New World. It's one of those three.
We might, but I don't know if Battle Royale is... Okay, we can kind of put it at the door because...
I mean, it's either in or out. So putting it on the door, we'll still be talking about it.
Yeah, it's just, okay, well, we'll just talk about it if, like, something really big happens and that we cannot turn.
Okay, if something happens so big that it's poking out the door.
Yes, yes, that's it.
Yes.
Like, fuck this shit. but if you, dear listener, if you have fun playing Battle Royale, I mean, you do you. It's just like...
Yes.
We don't enjoy it. But that's the beauty of game... Of gaming and or it's entertainment. It's
not so much that I don't like the games. I'm indifferent to the games. I'm just incredibly irritated by the events surrounding them and the stupid like things the that devs developers and publishers, and publishers are doing.
Yeah, it's like the game.
Disgusting.
The game type. To be fair, it seems like a thing that I mean, it can be fun. And I mean, I'm sure it's fun, or else you wouldn't have like 2 million of people playing.
Well, let's not say that because people are not necessarily, well, you know, good.
Well, taste. Yes, I understand what you say, but it's yes. But I do what I mean is I do understand the appeal of it, but it's just okay. But let's stop with Battle Royale and move on to Telltale Games. I like actually have 2 things to talk about. They are, of course, the studio behind games. Like, they're most famous for their Walking Dead series, but they did a lot of franchises. They adopted a lot of franchises.
Yep. They're kind of Batman, like the Hasbro of the gaming world.
Yes. just to name a few. Batman, Game of Thrones, Jurassic Park, Back to the Future, Borderlands, Minecraft, The Wolf Among Us, which
Minecraft.
It's also, yeah, they have a Minecraft story thing.
Disappointed so, in the world.
But yes. So they announced that they are changing engine. So far, they have been working with their own thing, which is the Telltale tool. Which, to be fair, in the Walking Dead games, it looked like very, very good because it had that comic book feeling to it. Nice. I recently got, during this Steam Summer Sale, the first season of their Batman series. And here it's like my PC should be able to run this, like...
It's not optimized. It's not running.
Yeah,
I'm assuming.
Exactly. And it's not all the time like a thing that, you know, like kills the game for it. It doesn't. It's just like when you change scenes, like there's a stuttering there. That kind of sucks. They are changing.
Yeah.
for, I was just going to mention, they're changing for the Unity engine.
Which is known for its reliability.
Exactly. That's what it disappointed me. I mean, of course, two of the games that I love the most playing they use Unity, which is Cities Skylines and Kerbal Space Program. And although it's been a while since I played
Kerbal. Yes, and both are prolific for breaking mods with each update. And,
exactly.
You know, and basically not being very well optimized. And,
yep. I'm not sure, but I mean, there's mods for everything. So, but Telltale doesn't rely on mods. It's still, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, in general, the games are not terribly well optimized. So no matter what graphics, whatever video card you have, they still can run like shit.
And this also gives, I don't know if it's tying into another problem, because although I didn't post this or added this to the doc, there are some reports that say that Telltale might be in trouble. Financial trouble, like, because they released a lot of games. It was like they were like a low-key developer. They released, they had their own franchises, and then they kind of started working with Jurassic Park and Back to the Future, and Jurassic Park was not very well received. Then they released the first season of The Walking Dead. That's when I personally first heard of them, and everybody was like, holy shit, what is this? It was brilliant. And then they probably grew too big, and they started, I mentioned a lot of franchises that they did.
Taking on more than they could handle, I guess.
Yeah, and apparently one of the CEOs
sacrificing quality across the board.
Yes. People complain, as the Walking Dead, I haven't played the third season yet, and a lot of people complain that it's not very good story-wise.
As compared to the masterpiece that is the TV show.
Well, no. But like, okay, but compared to the actual masterpiece, that's the first season. And the second one is very good as well. But in any case, the CEO, one of the CEOs, or one of the guys of the top left the company, and now he's suing Telltale. And then there was also complaints of some people anonymously that reported that the working conditions were not that great. There was like a lot of, then this seems to be a horrible trend happening now, like a awful lot of crunch time.
Yes, that's precisely the term.
Because it's, especially with these smaller studios, because like if you talk about, of course, like Rockstar, that they can have like 1,000 people to work on a game.
And they still make them do crunch.
Crunch, yes. But if we're talking about these indie smaller studios and like Telltale, that they immediately got like a lot of franchises, and like they work on series, and then it's based on seasons and whatnot. So I would imagine like people worked a lot, not in the best conditions, and all of this helped to lead to these situations where Telltale is not very good financially, and it's kind of dependent on what happens with this lawsuit. So let's see, they announced the final season for The Walking Dead. The second season of Batman was successful. Let's see.
Yes. Where it started, I just wished that instead of Telltale Games, it just said Bethesda. Because it would like make
the changing engine.
Make a perfect replacement. It's the poorly optimized games that support a lot of modes. And are like really unstable and buggy, and it's time for a change.
Todd Howard that said in a I think it was for Eurogamer, they were of course asking a lot of stuff about Star Citizen, and Todd Howard kind of said,
not
like,
quite for Star Citizen, but for Starfield maybe.
Hey, Starfield, yeah. It would be awkward if they were asking Todd Howard about Star Citizen.
He's like, yeah, do these people think I'm Chris Roberts? What the fuck is happening?
But yeah, they were asking Todd Howard about Starfield, and he kind of said, like, I already regret announcing the game. Because, and this is true for Bethesda. Normally when they announce a game, like, they the game is ready to come out. Or almost ready to come out. At least they have enough stuff to show you, like, gameplay and whatnot. And that's why this conference was a bit more weird, because they were so, like, in Fallout 76, they still have to test a lot of stuff. But especially, let's go to Starfield and Elder Scrolls. They have, like, jack shit to show.
And, like, because people... the games are really far away.
Like, yeah.
Fallout 76 comes out later this year. And they
then it's
he described, was it, yes, he described Starfield as the game that comes after that, and they described the Elder Scrolls 6 as the game that comes after the Starfield game. So it's at least,
Elder Scrolls
it's at least
is
one
in
game between now and Elder Scrolls 6, so it's years away still.
And although there was a news outlet, I don't remember which, that they asked Todd Howard, and they kind of stated that, like, hey, Fallout 5 will be single player, but, like, I don't even think about Fallout 5, because I cannot possibly imagine when we will see Fallout 5.
Yes, 15 years. And Todd, like, got 5 gray hairs when he said.
Because, like, the way Todd Howard is speaking, like, he's saying, like, it's next generation. And then people ask Todd Howard, like, what do you mean next generation?
It's PS5 and Xbox, whatever.
Yeah, but he also said... he also said new generation, it means for us internally because we changed the code and blah, blah, blah. And, you know.
And the engine, the new engine.
Finally. I think... they let themselves go with the hype.
That was the weird thing. Like, in the days prior to Fallout 76 being released, it was all like, we can't wait. Like, the tension is killing us. We can't wait to tell people. And there were some random leaks that was supposedly of people from inside who were like, I can't stand this anymore. And supposedly the whole company was on edge just waiting to reveal what Fallout 76 is. It's all bullshit, because if they were so worried 2 weeks before talking about the game, how would they worry about the speculation that would follow in a game that's not going to be out for 2 or possibly for like 5 years?
Exactly. It's and
there's some bullshit
like
in
it,
there.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Yep, out of nowhere, we started this rant about Bethesda.
And keeping up with bullshit, there's like some news. It's not surprising, but it's still sucks. Okay, so...
sucks dick.
Amy Hennig, she was the creator of the Uncharted series. She left EA to create her own studio, and I'm actually happy with this part. Like, EA can, they can just go fuck themselves.
Yes.
But she talked about, like, she was in charge of the game that, Visceral Studios was working on. So, this gets me so pissed off, like, thinking of, you know, like, the Uncharted creator working with the guys behind, like, Dead Space and all that stuff. They were working on a Star Wars game. And we will not be able to see that game. She said, "Yes,
to bring this dead horse back from the dead."
She said that she's not working with EA since January, and she basically confirmed, like, this is not the surprise part, like, that the game. The game was shelved. And it's... like, what's mind-boggling here? Because we all know that there was that Star Wars single-player game that was being worked on, and EA said, no, people just want multiplayer and loot box and all that bullshit. So like you have Amy, the creator of Uncharted, which is like, you know, a single player adventure game, and the guys behind Dead Space, which is a survival horror single player experience. They are like story driven things, not open world games.
Linear.
And then EA goes like, oh, this game is too linear, and you know, people don't like this. And like, come on, it's like, I don't know. It's
not that people don't like it; it's that investors don't like it.
Exactly, and it's just bullshit.
It's not a recurring cash flow. Why make something and just sell it and get the money once when you can get it on a regular basis?
That also reminds me a thing of people that are worried with Red Dead Redemption 2, and I haven't thought about it because I do enjoy the Grand Theft Auto games. I play them all, except that one that came out exclusive for whatever handheld Nintendo console that was
Chinatown Wars or something like
that. Yeah, I haven't played that one. And I like Grand Theft Auto 5, that's why people are worried. It's like, it's a great game. Like the story, it's great. I very briefly checked the multiplayer, but it's not my thing that much. But if you look back, and that's the thing that I haven't thought about it. If you look at Grand Theft Auto 5, it had like two major expansion packs. The Ballad of Gay Tony and the
Lost and Damned.
Exactly. That were huge. By the way, GTA
4. You said 5.
5, 4, yes. They were huge, which I remember back then, someone at Rockstar said, like, we had so much work creating Liberty City. And, I mean, it felt so amazing to us and blah, blah, that we decided to, like, use it more. And they created those two expansions that are basically new games inside that city. I mean, they overlap a little bit with the story, with the main story. But, like, in that case, like, if you didn't care much for Niko Bellic, which I kind of like Niko Bellic, but if you didn't care for him, you could play the Bikers Lost in the Dam expansion or the Ballad of Gay Tony. And for Grand Theft Auto 5, we didn't get any of that shit. It was
precisely
just
because
multiplayer.
They were planning for single player DLC, but GTA Online turned out to be so popular that they scrapped all plans and decided to take the easy route and just, you know, maintain the servers, pump out new items and cars and planes, and just keep selling those shark cards by the thousands.
Yeah, and
as a result, they made like a couple billion dollars.
Yeah, and it's like people are worried that Red Dead Redemption might, you know, suffer.
I mean, it won't. From it. It'll have a single player story. I doubt it'll have any DLC. Like
that's
DLC.
It's since they are okay, and people are also worried because I'm actually not sure if we mentioned this in the episode. I'm sure everybody knows about it, but like the thing with the pre-orders for the game, in which Rockstar went like full motherfuckers when they basically locked a single player content on the pre-orders because someone asked them, like, will like the bonus of the pre-orders, will that be available later? And they said, no, this is just for pre-order. And that's some grade A bullshittery, yep, if you ask me. So, and like the thing is, they don't need it.
They're gonna make $1 billion out of it anyway.
Exactly, like people just, and I'm speaking for myself. Like you know, like, oh, there's a new GTA game coming out, and you know, like the game will be great. I'm gonna get that game.
Yeah.
So it's like that's one company that they managed to grow so much, like by word of mouth.
And to never like really stick into people's faces, if you don't count like the early 2000s, Hot Coffee and all that other kind of stuff there, at least to the gaming community. I don't think the gaming community has ever been like largely opposed to something Rockstar has done to like rise up like they people always do against companies like EA and the Square Enix and all those other
Ubisoft,
like, Activision, Blizzard. Whereas Rockstar has always been on good standing with the gaming community, and this
it's
kind of set to change. With
possibly. They normally at least until now, their pattern was like they would release the game, like blow everything, and then they would go like
out of the sky. It's an important addition to that.
Yeah.
Statement.
They would go silent. Except for the PC players. Oh, when will this come out for PC?
Yes,
pieces of shit.
Wait like a year.
Yeah, that sucks. But well. So I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't even know why we started talking about Rockstar. But
very uplifting mood this episode.
Yes. We have another thing to talk about, which I honestly don't know much about it.
Because probably almost nobody does.
Yes. So Google is preparing to launch a video game console.
Supposedly. Is that certain? Is it like a...
No. No, it's still maybe working on a gaming console.
That's better.
There are reports of it. Yes. It is... Okay, so what the rumors say, and take this with a grain of salt, like none of this is confirmed whatsoever. Not even the console itself is confirmed. So, but they say it's some sort of streaming platform. It will have some sort of hardware. An attempt to... Okay, this is the part that sucks. And this is by Kotaku. An attempt to bring game developers under the Google umbrella. So, like, this is the least thing that we needed in the, the gaming universe to have another juggernaut just outright buying studios.
Yes, more corporate consolidation.
Yes.
And by the way, it's not technically, like, Google is not even the biggest company because, Google is part of Alphabet, which is like a collection of companies, which is even larger, some sort of conglomerate.
And it's like when you look at the universe, like you see, like you, when you zoom out, you see increasingly bigger things that the other bigger things are in.
So yes,
that's kind of the same.
Only here on Earth we have a finite number of bigger things, and those bigger things are like, or rather, a finite number of smaller things. And the bigger things are attracting all the smaller things, and all the spaces in between are getting more and more empty as gravitates towards the big things.
And that will hurt us, the,
it's probably mostly a penis metaphor as well in there, but not going to go there.
Yeah. Because whenever you have like this a big consolidation between companies, they might reach a stale, like a limbo thing where there are virtually no competition.
I mean, just look at when United Launch Alliance, for as far as space goes, they had no competition, so they stagnated, and now that SpaceX is around, they're scrambling to catch up.
Yeah, and like
and in we video don't games, know if there will be SpaceX in the gaming industry, because games companies are already making shitloads of money.
Exactly, and now we still hold a little bit of power, but like things continuing to go like this, it will get to this point of like, hey, buy our new game that costs like 100 euro and like you need to pay us 50 euro a week. I'm exaggerating, but like, and you say, fuck no, I won't buy this game, and like, fine, what will you play then? And it's
twiddle your fucking thumbs.
Yeah. And it's Because like that's the problem, and that's why we should always be wary of like crap like this, because like there's always like a company, and normally the worst offenders are Activision, Blizzard, and EA. But the others follow. That's the thing. Like, you always have a company that will try some insidious crap, and people will lose their shit. But like, oh, this crap is in my favorite game, so you keep buying it. So that's why when I started playing games for real, it was more, I'm not talking about the console days of Sega Mega Drive and all that stuff, but like it was normal for like any, for us PC players to like, you get the game, and then after a few months you probably would get, if the game did well enough, like this, you know, huge ass expansion pack for the game, and that was fine. And then season passes, the people started toying with season passes and smaller, like breaking the DLC more, and started calling DLC instead of expansion, you know. And people, I remember people were like anti-DLC and anti-season passes and whatnot, but it became normalized. Now it's normal.
Yep. What are you gonna do?
And you just go like, hey, the season pass for this game is on sale, so I might well just get it, so I won't have trouble with the DLCs. And like now it's a standard for the market, and that's why, like, fortunately loot boxes are not saying that they will never be, but it was a first attempt, it failed. That's why we need to always be wary of the normalization of, you know, hassle motherfucking pieces of shit, you know, schemes to rip off money from you, because like we are getting to a point, I mean, we already are at that point. Like, back then, a few years, like 15 years ago or whatever, like, you would buy a game and, like, you would get the full experience. And, like, a few months, it would be like, hey, this thing will expand the story if you want. If you don't want, it's fine. Cool. You play the game. Now it's like, you know, for sure, when you're buying a game, the game is not complete. You know, like you have to buy this little thing that's just €2, and this thing is €5. We put more effort on this one, so it's €10, and it's pieces of shit. That's why I do like CD Projekt Red in that sense. They're one of the few bastions of decency towards the consumers, at least. I'm sorry.
I was about to burst into tears. yes, it's a very nice story, but yeah, that's basically how things stand. And once again, we have to, it's kind of nice, and it's also the same kind of not really that nice, that we have to upload basic decency, and that exactly. We have to put like GOG and CD Projekt Red, the people behind GOG, on a pedestal, because they are not being cunts towards the consumers.
And it's even if you look at like the concept of pre-order, now it's just like, I don't know, it's ridiculous to think of, because like when we used to buy games, you know, the physical copies of the game, that way pre-order made a little bit more sense, in the sense of, you know, I'm gonna get my game now, like pay for my game now, so
it's not in the store yet. I'm pre-purchasing it when it arrives.
Exactly.
I'll be the first to get it.
No, and it's yours. You wouldn't be getting on a situation that you get to the store to buy your game and like, oh, I'm sorry, we have no more games. You need to wait like a few days until a new shipment arrives. For that sense, pre-orders, you know, were kind of all right.
Yep. Whereas now it's like a digital file. It's already there. But we're keeping it just so we can charge you a few more dollars. Like up front, before you've gotten a chance to play the game, before you've seen it anywhere.
The new bullshit that they are doing now, it's not new, but it's like, pre-order the game and you can play like 1 or 2 days earlier than anyone.
Yep. What's the fucking point?
Yeah, it's like one thing that I kind of understand. From Steam, I remember like the good old days on Steam, where you were like, the benefit for you to pre-ordering a digital game would be like the preload thing. So you could, like, the game is released and you can start playing at that second. But still, that's kind of like you're still paying for the thing that you don't know. I mean, in many cases, nothing about. It's like, it really pisses me off.
Yes, when you combine that pre-order culture and this practice of releasing games a few days, making pre-orders so that there's only a few days before you are able to download the game and before the game releases, and take that and combine it with the practice of more and more developers, or rather more and more publishers, releasing games for reviews just a few days before their official release. And it's very, very insidious stuff, very shitty practices where you can't get a proper idea because they are afraid, because they usually know there's going to be like problems with the games. So they're afraid of media picking it apart, picking their product apart and possibly hurting their sales. Which, you know, it's a shitty thing to do.
Yeah, it's... What a fuck, man. I don't know. Today, we start talking about a thing and then we delve into a rant of an unrelated thing. But, well...
It's like, fuck games. I'm gonna play tic-tac-toe on my note, but...
So let's move on
to something another shitty thing.
we finished with our game section.
There's literally two good things in this week's show notes, and we don't know anything about one of them.
We're going to talk about Brian Krzanich.
Yes.
Plumman is going to talk about. I have no idea what this is.
So, Pedro and dear listeners as well.
Okay, sorry. I'm sorry. We're talking about it's the Intel guy that sold stuff, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I know a little bit of what we're talking about.
Remember back a few months ago when Spectre and Meltdown, those massive bugs, were revealed to the public, and it's like crazy and how much is my performance going to degrade and all that other stuff. It turned out it's only for servers. It was a noticeable performance change, but that's beside the point. I don't know why I even brought it up. The point is Intel was like not hit, but impacted the most out of all major companies. And shortly thereafter, it was revealed that, you know, rather conveniently, shortly before the Intel stock price dropped, although for a little bit, but it dropped significantly. Shortly before that, then Intel CEO Brian Krzanich sold all of his shares. Like all of the shares that he could sell, yes. He was left with 250,000 shares out of like several millions, because that was the bare minimum that the Intel CEO was required to own. So that was kind of suspicious.
A bit before the news exploded.
Yes. And it was later revealed that he knew that the Intel was informed, I think, on June 1st, and he sold his shares on like October 30th or something like that. So there's no way he didn't know about it. It was very suspicious at the time, and we were wondering what's going to happen. Well, what was going to happen happened, and Brian Krzanich is no longer the Intel CEO.
What a surprise.
Yes. And it's because of a so-called ongoing investigation into a consensual relationship with another employee of Intel, which is against the anti-fraternization rules of the company. And also another convenient way to pull the ripcord on your golden parachute when you have recently sold shares for between $20 and $40 million and you need some way to leave the company without, you know, being fired and like taking a hit or like without looking bad. And that's pretty much the only way. Oh, we were, you know, he can just go and say, oh, we were in love or something like that. And he's going to be like, yeah, everyone's going to be cool. You know, you're a cool guy. You know, he left his job as Intel CEO for, you know, love or a relationship. But in reality, if you ask me, he just cashed in and was looking for a way
to leave. It's a sleazy thing, yeah.
And he found it. So he took the leap and he's no longer CEO.
Yeah. And, well, may he enjoy the millions.
Yes. Millions.
Motherfucker.
Plural. Many, many millions. On top of his already massive salary, quite.
Yes.
Probably.
Let's move on.
The one good thing that we can talk about. And it's like I have about 2 sentences about it.
Yes. Well, Halo will have a TV series.
Yes.
It's their official Twitter that they say, we are thrilled to share that Showtime has announced details on a brand new television series based on the Halo universe in partnership with Amblin, which is badass. So, I mean, I guess this is cool. I never played Halo. I know that the first one was released for PC, but I never actually got to play it. But I know that's a very rich universe.
I have always been interested in it. I have played. I admit I haven't finished, never finished the first one, Halo Combat Evolved, but I've always wanted for them to finally go, for Microsoft to finally go, here it is. It's the Master Chief Collection for PC. So they can bring it back to the PC, because I would have definitely bought that. But alas, they did not do that. Although now with Halo Infinite, it was announced that it will be coming for Windows. So
yes,
in the coming years, Halo will be on PC and on TV. So that's nice.
I know that a few years ago, there was a movie that was being worked on with a very famous director. I don't want to say Peter Jackson, but was someone. Yeah. But that movie was eventually canceled because
it was developed at the time. So many others that were associated with like big gaming,
exactly,
franchises.
There's the great thing is like Amblin Entertainment, or in this case, Amblin Television. It's associated with, of course, the, you know, Steven Spielberg, and there's actually a link where they say. Showtime brings its powerful legacy of experience in building stories for premium cable together with Amblin Television and the legendary storyteller Steven Spielberg. So this might be actually very interesting. And I'm actually looking forward to this now.
It's not the same hype as it would have been a few years ago when Halo was like super popular, but yes.
Oh yeah, it's totally different, but
I mean they doubled into like video, like live action stuff with the I'm forgetting its name, but I think it was for Halo 4, Forward and Dawn. It was like a series of mini like episodes that were live action.
I didn't see that.
I mean, there have been like different projects, both official and fan projects, but nothing has ever gained that much traction. So this one seems to be backed by like really, really impressive people and organizations and companies. So it has a good chance. Because to be honest, I don't think at the same time, I don't think a gaming franchise has ever been successfully adapted into a movie or a TV show.
Oh yeah,
like yeah, there were like made some that made a little bit of money, but and some that were colossal terrible flops, like Doom and all that kind of stuff.
On all the video games that were adapted to movies. I mean, the most successful, I believe it was Resident Evil. At least they got like 5 or 6 movies of that.
Yes, quite possibly. I was thinking of Prince of Persia, but those only had like a couple. And I don't know how well they did in the box office.
Yeah.
Also, so, remember Starship Troopers?
Oh, yes.
Another one for the garbage pile.
Let's move on to the final topic for today's or this Fortnite episode.
Yes.
Which we might as well announce since we tricked our listeners into staying until now. We won't have a Bobby Award this week.
Yay.
This because we kind of like, okay, so the way we work, and you, in the off chance that there's someone listening since the beginning,
yes, that we started doing things. We're very confident with our material. But we're not sure anyone's listening all the way through.
No. Since we started with the Bobby Awards.
Oh, yeah. Unlikely.
Not the full episode. It might seem from the outside that we actually are like, okay, let's look for the next thing that really sucks, that like that's a Bobby Award. And I think that never happened. Yep. for an episode. It was always like something that
we stumble
one of us saw. Yeah. And it's like, oh my, this is really dumb. And there were things that could be in these Bobby Awards, but they were ridiculous, but they weren't grandiose to deserve a nomination for the Bobby Awards.
Yes. And they probably weren't like dangerous to anyone. Like they were just stupid.
Exactly. So that being said, let's move to the final thing, which is an incredibly big thing, which is the vote that we mentioned, I don't know if in the previous episode, the infamous Article 13 that the European Union was infamous. Voting. Yes.
I wouldn't exactly quote that infamous because not a lot of people know about it.
Well, yes.
They should, but, you know.
So, basically, to explain really fast, there was this Article 11 and the Article 13 that were being voted. Article 11, it was like in the sense of protecting content for, you know, general use. That would mean that, like, if you, like, you have a podcast and if you want to use a snip of an article written by whatever, you would probably have to pay them money to use. That could also mean that if BuzzFeed, that they are the guys that do that the most, if they want to use your tweet to their whatever top 10 article of bullshit that they do, they would have to give you money. Of course, things wouldn't be that black and white, and we always know that things never work as they intend to, especially in situations like this. And worst of it, the worst offender was the Article 13, which I don't know if you're familiar with the system that, I don't know, Plumman, the YouTube system, or what's it called?
Content ID system.
Exactly. Like when you, if you're uploading a video, like if you have a song, let's say a song that's under that protection, it will tell you immediately, like, hey, you cannot upload this because this song belongs to blah, 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 blah. So basically, there was this proposal for some stuff like this to be expanded to the entire internet. And it would be the responsibility of the people that are running certain platforms like Facebook, Reddit, Twitter, even 4chan. They mentioned platforms like 4chan, where you are posting something, and whether it would be text, image, audio, or video, whatever medium, you would be blocked from posting it if it was copyrighted. Of course, this is complete and utter bullshit. Like,
yes.
It's just fucking ridiculous. Like, it would of course, okay, so what people are focusing more is like memes would end. But like if you put that like compared to the other things that would like journalism would be tremendously affected. Independent journalism would be terribly affected. People like us that do podcasts or like content creators on YouTube or whatever other places, they would be tremendously affected. And this would be a huge slam in, you know, freedom of speech. And freedom of speech is normally this thing that it's been tossed around, especially in the other side of the pond with our American friends.
Throw some shade on the...
It's... but this would seriously hinder like the ability of and of course when I say freedom of speech, it's not your freedom to go online and, you know, say racist stuff or homophobic stuff to people. When I'm saying it's like freedom of speech is like the sharing of information, you know. And there's like the thing of the fair use, like how will you do reviews if you have like this fucking bot telling like you cannot upload this because, you know,
you don't own it. Someone else's copyright. Yes.
So, this sounds like doom, but there's also good news regarding this, or at least mild news. No, I'm considering this a victory so far because it was blocked by the European Parliament. They said like, "Fuck no, this no."
I mean, whoever created it didn't think that it would pass. Who the fuck?
Yeah, it's.
Wrote this and said, yeah, I think people will agree with that. I think it'll go through.
Yeah, it's... To be fair, some of the people in European Parliament that were more on the ball to defend this thing, to me, not very surprisingly, they were people more on the far right spectrum. Yeah. Of politics. And this was repealed, but it doesn't mean that it's dead completely, because now of course they will go on vacation, so on September they can propose a new one, which
it's like Voldemort
according
it's yes kill it, but it's all the horcruxes that you have to kill, the splinter cells.
But probably, and according to, we should expect a way more softcore thing for this, or else I do believe it won't pass. But we have to wait until September. We will cover this as much as we can. And the final note on this, there's a guy called Tim Berners-Lee. And you might ask, who is Tim Berners-Lee? He's like a physicist.
If you just ask who Tim Berners-Lee is, you can go fuck yourself.
It's basically, if you're listening to us, it's kind of because of this guy.
Yes.
He writes our content. No, I'm kidding.
He writes the show notes.
he's the guy that basically created... the internet as like the world
as
wide
we know
web.
It today as the world wide
yes web. Yeah, because it was that was a thing that was, but doesn't matter. I mean, it matters, but the internet that we know, there you go, www.controlplus.d. it sucks at it. Yes. it's because it sucks that I don't know our own website. Like,
I wonder
controlplusd.com. Yes, that's it.
I wonder which
we exist because of this guy.
For.
So anyway, he was a creator of the modern internet, like the internet that allowed to be open to the general public to use. And not surprisingly, he's not happy with the state of the internet. And this kind of goes into what we were talking about previously. He said he's really not happy on how very few, several super giant corporations like control the internet, and namely like Google, Amazon, Facebook, like, you know.
And that's not even taking into account the internet service providers who can, you know, throttle bandwidth and channel it in any way, shape, or form they wish. And especially in the United States, they are one step closer with the repeal of the net neutrality laws and the Article 2 definition for service providers. Although there have been states, separate states, that have put in place new laws to protect against that, but they are like exceptions to the rule.
Mm-hmm. And so basically he got really unhappy like with the state of the internet, so he decided to do something about it. In his words, like that, there's a quote here that he created a project which is called Solid. And I'm going to quote now. Said, "The intention of Solid is simple. Decentralize the web again, so that is controlled by the users rather than corporations. Solid is an open source coding project which anyone can join and contribute with code or ideas." So, although it's still not very, at least to us or to me, it's not very clear what this actually is, it gives me a little bit of hope. For, of course, this is on GitHub, so if you want to check it out, we will provide the links.
Yes. As I mentioned when we first talked about this a couple hours ago, now the fate of the internet is in the hands of Microsoft. So that's nice.
Well, yes.
If files start magically disappearing from the repository, you know who to blame.
Although, maybe it's the way of Microsoft now fighting back. Like, people spent years making fun of Explorer. Now we'll teach them.
Yes. It's like,
but yes,
Bill Gates and he's been keeping a grudge for like 20 years.
And now they're like,
it's like this Schadenfreude moment of cold vengeance.
Let's wrap this up
because we are really bogged down and trying to figure out what to talk about.
It wasn't the most positive of the episodes, but hopefully in a fortnight we will have our friend Colin back in his new Batmobile, we'll have cool stuff to talk about.
Yes. And yes. Mostly positive, not necessarily quite as cool, but yes. Just, you know, exactly. Something more lighthearted.
So I hope you enjoyed this episode. And I know that the world might suck when we look outside and we look at the TV and the internet. And again, like outside, it's like heat waves, fires, flash floods, and wars and bullshit. But I mean, we stick together with each other.
Yes.
And make it, at least that's our, and it's just not try to get like super emotional with this, but at least it's our way to cope with this and hopefully help people to, you know, ride along with at least not positivity, but like if we can make people laugh a little bit and be entertained, that's.
Yes. It's just, it just so happens that this week there wasn't too much quality material to make fun of.
Exactly.
It's kind of heavy on the depressing side.
Don't kill the messenger.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll see you in a fortnight with a full team. And yes.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
2nd. My cat was eating plastic. Or trying to. Okay.
It's trying to save the environment. It's doing more than us in any case.